listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Endless Garden in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Aqua, Catskill, Hudson, New York 90.7 FM. Listeners reported. It's radio for open ears, open heart, open hands, and open mind. We give thanks again to you for supporting WGXC all through the years, and then I hope that you stay with us.
Land of Confusion. Okay, we're on.
We're on? All right. Hello, and welcome to the Thingularity radio program, broadcasting live from the palatial administrative offices of the Catskill Makers Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill. That is technically where all of our audio is being routed. We are actually coming to you from various points across Greene County and the globe, if other people happen to show up in the stream today, but we're going to wish them luck or wish them the best if they don't pipe in. Now, I guess, roll call. Who's here tonight?
None of us
Cody.
Are here tonight.
Cody's here.
Cody, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Not too bad hanging in there, especially considering the way things are going outside the window. Looks like we got protesters gathering in front of the high school, it looks like. In town here, we have one of our correspondents that was out there earlier today sent us some clips. He's in the field trying to get back to a position of being able to contact us, and hopefully we can hear from Chris soon.
I'm Jill, actually watching them on the cam right now.
Really?
They're all walking up Bridge Street.
Nice. I hear there's a lot more people than were to be expected showing up, so could get interesting. Jill, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Working on projects.
I think everybody's working on projects lately.
Not too much left.
Right? Corey, you with us tonight?
Oh, yes.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you guys?
Doing all right. Looks like we have a good sound check and everybody is here. Oh, let me...
Mostly.
Mostly.
We got the shy people here.
I know, right? And our... our man in California has not shown up yet. Hopefully, Brian is all right, and he'll pop in at some point during our stream. So, what should we talk about first?
Did you bring anything?
Ah, sorry, guys. Was just fixing a broken wire. Hey, that is life on the edge. And that's how we like to do it. Raggedy edge all the way. Sounds like we got some stories here from the interwebs. Let's see. Amazon is furnishing surveillance tools to the police. Well, that's a timely story. Let's see.
One that seems to be getting repeated.
Yeah, tell
over
me about
and over.
We got Amazon. We got Ring. We got Google and Apple trying to help the government track down everybody, apparently.
Yet they're in support of the protests.
Well, Apple's a funny thing. Like, they advocate that the privacy of their users is paramount, but at the same time, I don't know. They seem to offer a little bit of a product for a whole lot of money, so I'm wondering how much they actually care about their customers. But anyway, we were talking about the Amazon furnishing surveillance tools to police, including the widely criticized facial recognition product Recognition. That's Recognition with a K. The tool misidentifies darker-skinned people more often than lighter-skinned people. Of course. That's actually been a problem with a lot of recognition technologies lately.
In 2018, the ACLU found the tool misidentified members of Congress as criminals. Now, wait a minute here.
Well, wait, what do you mean by misidentified?
Yeah, you sure was wrong? Perhaps the AI is learning more than we are.
It's smarter than we think. But, no.
Just telling us what we already know.
Jokes aside, it misidentifies the black officials more often than the white ones. So, members of Congress or not, it still misidentifies them.
It looks like civil rights organizations are calling out Google's practice of enabling geofencing warrants. These warrants permit police to request from Google data on devices in the area surrounding a crime. Wait a minute. Google initially supplies anonymous information for phones within the area specified by the warrant. After police narrow their suspects, Google supplies usernames and location data for the specific devices. Both companies showed support for the protests. What?
More so, work for them.
So Google is happy to just hand over tons of metadata to the police just for the asking, so that they can whittle it down and ask for more specific data, which they will then hand over. My question with all this is, how is the legal process involved? If these are actual warrants, where's the judge signing off on this?
Well, you see, you give up that data, so it's really not a huge problem for Google to hand it over. To them, it's like a business helping a government entity. It's not them handing your personal data over because you gave up that data.
It is on the second round of those warrants that directly becomes personal data that you've told Google they can use all they want in any legal way because of the EULA. That was a question.
You're asking
me? Are you sure? Are you sure it was a question? It was a little leading, if you ask me, but
fair enough.
It's because we're on the same page. Like, this data should be protected as part of unreasonable search and seizure, but it's not. And we let them get away with it. All these big companies.
I think later on there's an article about, you know, just opening your phone is...
Yeah, I've seen something about that too.
Yeah, and, you know, Zoom's free users won't have the end-to-end encryption, so they're helping, you know, the FBI and police as well.
Yeah, Counselor Troy herself got hacked.
Yep.
Jill, I'm just going to ask you to point right at the microphone. You're dropping out a little.
Okay.
So, Marina Sirtis is angry at Zoom?
Yeah, because they were doing a TNG Zoom call, and then a hacker, like, got to her computer and destroyed it.
So what is that? Is that, like, all the cast going to a Zoom call, and they're like...
Yeah, yeah, they've been kind of doing these like reunion things or like watch-alongs.
Are these like public? Like the I can get in on this because I want in on this.
I don't know. It was on her Twitter. She was more like complaining about Zoom. She wasn't even talking about the details of what they were doing.
So if you use Zoom for free, there is no encryption and anybody can watch what you're doing. If you pay for the encrypted service, that just means that a hacker has to exert a little bit of effort to see what you're doing. And then compromise your computer anyway, right?
Pretty much.
So anybody that pays for Zoom is asking to be hacked. Please keep that in mind. Lots of people are using Zoom nowadays for schools, governments, business, and all sorts of conferencing. People, this is not an a proven technology.
Yeah, and I think their revenue is up like 167%, you know, so they could afford to do more.
Oh, great. They're making money while they're leaving gaping wide holes in everybody's security. Well, that sounds like, you know, regular tech companies, par for the course.
Oh. But it's to protect the children.
It's the Internet of Things model, except software only, so it's extra easy.
Ooh. Well, we gotta protect those children, otherwise, you know, we're not gonna be able to use those laws to hunt down people that are just minding their own business.
So, although all that, everything we just talked about is kind of a bummer in terms of privacy, we have another article, and turns out just turning your phone on does qualify as searching it. Rule. Which court? It's a district, U.S. District Court in Seattle. Fine. So maybe it doesn't quite apply to here, but
at that's
least in that circuit.
That's still some form of legal precedent, and that what that refers to is when a police officer opens your phone. That's considered a search and seizure legally, which they must have a warrant to do, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
hope so.
So that's what Cody means by a search by a police officer. So police officers need warrants to go through your phone, which is part of the reason they tell you when you go to a protest to put your phone in airplane mode, for one, because that should keep your phone from being tracked by the cell phone companies, let alone anybody else, because your phone is no longer allowed to contact cell phone towers. Also, if you turn off your location data and your Wi-Fi, because if your phone connects to any sort of Wi-Fi network, Google or Apple will suck your location out of your phone and find out where you are. They love to do this. Let's see what else. You want to disable any form of facial recognition or fingerprint technology for unlocking your device.
Yes, please stop giving biometrics to your devices. What is wrong with you?
Not only will this allow your friends and other people to mess with you in ways you really don't want them to, if a police officer illegally confiscates your phone, we know they do this all the time, the laws don't really matter to them, if they look through your phone and just hold it up to your face and use your face to unlock it, they will go through your stuff. So if you put in a long enough code, it should be like a number that's like at least 4 to 6 digits long, should make it difficult, if not impossible, for a police officer to get into your phone immediately there on the scene.
Well, they need a warrant to do that anyway, to get your passcode.
This is true, but police officers are ignoring that.
Right,
so
this is how stupid.
This is to protect yourself against them.
The case was about, though. This is what the case was about. The FBI turned on the phone to take a photograph of the phone's lock screen. So even they didn't even really open it. They just wanted the name that was displayed on the phone's lock screen. And then
looking at the lock screen is a search.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Not even opening it.
They shouldn't even be looking at your phone. Yet they will take it from you and go through your crap without a warrant. It's happened countless times. And, I mean, if you think the laws are protecting you from them, well, take a look outside your windows.
Yeah, they're taking bicycles in New York City from journalists. Like, stealing their bikes, and you can't retrieve them. And they say, this is not your bike anymore, and they tell you to, you know, F off.
They're also kettling the protesters. So not only do they cut them off from their sources of transportation, including those bikes, but they come at them, they flank them from all sides, and they box them into areas. And they do this before curfews run out. That way, the police force every person in that crowd to become a violator of the curfew, and then they begin arresting them. It's dirty.
I read some good stories about how people have been letting kettled protesters into their homes. And it was...
Yeah, just so they could escape the cops from arresting them.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, it's the humane thing to do. I mean, people are getting shot with tear gas canisters and rubber bullets. I mean, it's not hot lead, but they still do lots and lots of damage.
Right.
And you're firing a lethal weapon at a citizen.
Whose homes that they're think about the people who own those homes. They're like letting these strangers into their houses, and then nothing bad is happening.
Well,
nothing bad is happening to them.
You mean they offer
amazing?
They might not be criminals.
Holy crap. But I thought they were all Antifa, and Antifa wants everybody to die.
Oh, yes, yes, that horrible, insidious terrorist organization. Apparently be a member of just by putting you on a mask. Oh, wait, we're supposed to be wearing masks now.
Do you see how that works? Do you see how, like, the police like to force you into a situation that allows them to have power over you, even though you were just walking around minding your own business?
Yeah, even having a press pass on you does nothing for you.
Or it just makes you as big a target, bigger target.
Well, when you have leaders telling people that distribute information are enemies of the government and the people themselves, that's what you get. Okay, just to let everybody listening know that to help out with the businesses that are dealing with the crisis on Main Street, we're going to be giving away a gift certificate from the Mermaid Cafe. So anybody that's listening to this show that wants to enter the drawing for that gift card, it is a $20 gift card for the Mermaid Cafe. Just send an email to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com with the subject Mermaid, and we will enter you in the drawing for random selection at the next show.
Only one person answers. Guess who wins?
Easiest contest ever.
I know, right?
There's only one, so get on it now. Get on it quick.
Oh, yeah, but they have quesadillas now.
Ooh.
But the contest will be open for the entire time between this show and the next one, so any email sent between now and then will be entered, and we will just randomly pick one before the next episode. And again, that's catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. You can also contact us directly if you want to get a shout-out on the show at thingularity.tech. That's thingularity.tech. Okay.
Our man on the ground at the Catskill protest has just joined.
Yes, I heard the ding.
He's back.
Here.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
And he's alive.
Good. I survived. It was no problem at all.
Okay.
Surviving presented no difficulties?
Not any difficulty whatsoever, no.
I saw the Casco police were loading up coolers full of drinks and stuff. Big old camp coolers.
Just to let everybody know, that's Chris that has joined us.
Yeah, when the protesters made it to the police station, they were greeted at the police station with coolers of water and snacks. So
nobody had a problem. Like, they didn't even experience thirst.
They were handing out masks too, right?
Yes, at the protest site where everyone started, which was the Catskill Middle School, they had masks, hand sanitizer that they were handing out. When I arrived, everyone was practicing pretty good social distancing, keeping a bit of a distance. Of course, once everyone started to march together, they got a little closer, but pretty much everyone was wearing a mask, and they were instructed by the organizers to make sure that they got masks as well.
Cool.
No one's stacking bricks or anything.
Not to my knowledge, no. Several of the Catskill police were walking with us. I mean, they were just walking with the group. There was no... I didn't see any, like, bricks or anything like that, no. Everything was incredibly peaceful.
So the right way to make a plant before a protest is to drop off water, drinks, and snacks, not bricks.
Yeah, and it wasn't only the police department that had water and snacks. Some of the businesses along the way, like the restaurants and stuff, they had some water out too. Like, we got to Crossroads, they had water for everybody. Over by the courthouse, there was more water just sitting there. So it was pretty good.
Let me ask you this. How well was everybody distancing?
Well, at first they were distancing fairly well, but as people started to walk, their ranks sort of filed in, and I would say about a foot or two between everybody. I mean, they weren't very densely packed, but not the 6 feet that everyone's recommending.
You got to cross the footbridge, so it's kind of...
Well, I think it's like if you must be within 6 feet, you should wear a mask.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone, like I said, everyone pretty much had masks, and it took a long time to get across the footbridge because there were so many people, they had to wait.
Oh. Was the Black Bridge?
Yes.
Well, all right.
Bridge is only so small, you only fit so many people on there at a time, so...
If you were to venture a guess, Chris, how many people do you think were there?
I would probably say at least a couple hundred.
Wow. That's significant for Catskill. Now, they look familiar, like they were all locals?
A lot of the people I recognized, yeah. Some of the people I didn't, but I don't go to Catskill every day anymore, so...
Well,
he doesn't know everybody.
I don't know everybody.
On a Facebook group about this, you know, there were people from like Albany saying that they were going to be here. So, you know, people from all over. Yes,
I'm sure some people from out of town definitely, you know, attended. But it looked like a lot of people that I recognized from Catskill for the most part.
Awesome. Well, let's hope it stays peaceful and none of those businesses see any trouble tonight, because that's the MO of the protest.
I really doubt it.
Peaceful during the day, and then once it's dark, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, I was trying to talk to some of the people involved and some of the officers and kind of just gauge, you know, if anyone thought there would be any chance for violence or anything like that, and nobody suspected anything of the people who I spoke to, so...
I managed to queue up a couple of the clips that you sent in. Let me play those now. I'm just going to have to ask everybody to be quiet so that the audio routes properly.
How's it going? How's it going?
Good.
You want to tell us your name? It's okay.
Chef.
All right. You want to tell us what brings you out here today?
Yeah, I just wanted to come here for the cause. I know it's like, you know, a big thing for the community. And, you know, it's all been done the right way, you know, properly, you know. Everyone knows about it, you know, cops are like on board with it, so it's actually good to have something that's actually generally peaceful.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. So you don't think we'll see the kind of issues that other cities have been seeing?
You know, I feel like those issues are always, like, you know, evident, but I feel like the likelihood is, like, decreased, especially, you know, when, you know, a lot of people are on board with it. It all depends on the energy, you know, and I feel like, you know, in, like, the bigger cities, there's a little more of a juxtaposition of, like, you know, more people coming together, because I feel like here's, like, more community-based, and I feel like we have a community like this together, it really does put, like, a better energy and perspective for things.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Anything else? Do you think, first you want to introduce yourself?
Dave Darling, Chief of Police, Catskill.
Do you think we'll have any sort of problems here with this protest, or do you think it'll remain peaceful?
I don't.
That was...
A man of few words, I suppose.
I have to apologize. The crowd was actually incredibly loud. I was talking to the chief of police, so I had to stop the recording a little shorter than I normally would have.
Hey,
everyone was just coming around walking, so.
Yeah, it's good to see people giving a crap about something and getting out, you know? So, that's fine, man. That's great. All right, anything
else?
Thank you for
doing that.
Very much,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. It's good to see, like, everybody out in town, you know. I was amazed with the turnout. I was expecting to go there and see only a few people, honestly.
I might have expected a couple dozen, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything in the numbers that I saw, like maybe 20 people, something like that, I figured.
That's it?
No, that's what I was 50. Expecting. I mean, it's Catskill.
Yeah.
We don't have that large of a population, you know? Oh. To see that many of our Catskill residents, you know, coming out was really great.
Yeah.
Right.
They can sometimes, if people get impassioned enough, they can make a crowd that big anywhere.
Yeah, and some of the businesses closed early to participate as well.
Wait, there were businesses open?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's great. What phase are we in? Is this phase one?
I know when I was walking back to the makerspace, Coney Island was open. They had a line there.
They started, Mermaid started advertising, like, food outside and stuff.
That's right. Phase two is restaurants can have dine-in customers, but only on the outside.
Then it's not dining in.
Yeah. But that's the definition that's been presented, because it's not take out. Up until now, they were only allowed to do take out. Now you can dine in outside.
I think, what, McDonald's has some seats outside. I think that's the only one I can think of. Oh,
yeah, El Fresco.
Yeah.
And Creekside.
Yeah, true.
It looks like Barbecue Barn put some tables outside as well.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. You should throw some chairs and tables outside and hope somebody shows up.
Aren't they supposed to close down, like, Main Street or something?
There were sections of Main Street closed. Main Street was closed at Church Street, so no one could go past there. Thompson Street was closed off. And then as the protesters went from the police station to the courthouse, we had the police following us, moving the barricades up so that they could open the sections of Main Street that the protesters were no longer on.
Okay. Jill, were you talking about the entire summer closing that was planned for Catskill just today?
Yes. Closing,
I guess. That
is still
in limbo.
It was a proposal.
Yeah. It was a proposal.
That happened. I'm sure everybody has read it.
In my opinion, that's not going to happen. Everything is starting to open up. There is no real reason to close off Main Street other than to keep cars from showing up, and that's going to keep people away, too. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's not like Catskill has a huge parking lot where everyone can park in or anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Now, yeah, because if we had one of those, it might work.
Nah, you know what? They should put it right across from the movie theater. You know, that'd be real centrally located. It'd be easy.
Yeah, but then you'd have to drive down Main Street to get to it.
They could do stuff like have, like, farmers markets and crap there, you know? It'd be real useful.
If only we had something like that.
Don't think about Water Street. Don't think about it. Don't bring it up.
Well, now I'm thinking about it.
Well, now that you mention it.
Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, I had been wondering, like, you know, if I had to broadcast out a high-low, how that would work out if they were doing that.
If you had to broadcast out of there?
Yeah, you know, when I do, my other show out.
Right.
I could start doing it live again.
Yeah, because you've been pre-recording, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, right, because they won't let you inside.
They just won't let Corey inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no Corey. There's one Corey already in there, but...
They've reached their Corey quota.
Oh, it's like the No Homers Club. Yeah. But that Homer's in here.
Yeah. I'll leave it to Corey to have all of the Simpsons references right in his pocket.
Should we do the station call sign?
Yes, everybody is listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM Catskill, Caro, Hudson, radio for open ears. Does that cut it? Is that good?
That's pretty much it.
That does it.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. Let us collect our thoughts a little bit, and you get to listen to a little socially relevant Weird Al.
AK-47, well, you know it makes me feel all right. Got an Uzi by my pillow, helps me sleep a little better at night. There's no feeling any greater than to shoot first and ask questions later. Now I'm trigger happy every day. Well, you can't take my guns away, I got a constitutional right. I gotta be ready if the commies attack us tonight. Ba, 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 ba. I'll blow their brains out with my Smith and Wesson. That oughta teach them all a darn good lesson. Now I'm trigger happy every day.
Oh yeah, I'm
trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger
I accidentally shot Daddy last night in the den.
Shot Daddy in the den.
I mistook him in the dark for a drug-crazed Nazi again.
Drug-crazed Nazi again.
Now why'd you have to get so mad? It was just a lousy flesh wound, Dad. You know I'm trigger happy every day.
Happy every day.
Oh, I still haven't figured out the safety of my rifle yet.
Bum-doo-wop-shoo-wop-wop-doo-wop.
Little Fluffy took a round, better take him to the vet.
Bum-doo-wop-shoo-wop-wop-doo-wop.
I filled that kitty cat so full of lead. We'll have to use him for a pencil instead. Well, I'm trigger happy every day.
Oh yeah, I'm
trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Better watch out, punk, or I'm gonna have to blow you away. Come on and grab your ammo. What have you got to lose? We'll get all liquored up and shoot at anything that moves. Got a brand new semi-automatic weapon with a laser sight.
Shoot to kill now, shoot to kill.
Oh, I'm praying somebody tries to break in here tonight.
Shoot to kill now, shoot to kill.
I always keep a Magnum in my trunk. You better ask yourself that you feel lucky, punk. Because I'm trigger happy every day.
All right, and welcome back to the Thingularity Radio Program.
Want to plug that gift card again?
How about you plug that gift card while I double check our audio settings?
Well,
double check our audio settings.
Like that? We have a $20 gift card to Mermaid Cafe for anybody who emails us. You want questions? That's catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com or thingularity.tech. Tacos. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll hold
ramen. Yeah.
Ramen.
Yeah.
So or a drawing.
Just drop us a line. Something clever would be cool, but it doesn't have to be. Joe's making it psychedelic on us.
He is. And we appreciate all the hard work he does.
Yes.
I'm freaking out.
All right, Cody, you about ready for your bio break time?
I am very ready for this bio break. It's very interesting. So I dropped a link on our Telegram channel about and its title is Lab Made? SARS coronavirus 2 genealogy through the lens of gain of function research. Does this tickle anybody's brains?
Continue.
All right, so gain of function research is basically what most of virology is focused on experimentally. It's about cutting out different pieces of viral genomes and sticking them back into other strains of viruses, or even entirely different clades of virus classifications. So, say, taking in adenovirus proteins and their cellular, their machinery, basically, and pasting in a coronavirus gene or a rabies virus gene, any of these things. And this article, I'll say it again, it's on Medium. Mm-hmm. Lab-made SARS-CoV-2 genealogy through the lens of gain-of-function research. It goes way in depth into the tells that this new strain of coronavirus is very unique, and it's not exactly settled as the Nature article would have you believe, that this virus in fact evolved naturally.
Okay.
It evolved naturally? You broke off at the last bit right there.
I said it's not exactly settled that it evolved naturally.
Okay, so what you're saying is some people believed it was artificially created in a lab. And this has not been disproven.
I know that some people believe that.
I had to go there, come on.
And what I'm saying to you is there is reason to believe that it was. Just the same, there's also reason to believe that it could have evolved naturally.
Do you have any sort of evidence in either direction? Or have you seen any?
Well, one thing that is, to me, pretty... it's quite interesting that the genome of this new coronavirus contains... what do they call them?
Dinglebops?
They contain...
Columbus? Sorry. Please continue.
Thank you. I appreciate your quips.
Thank you for calling them that. But the coronavirus, I'm sorry.
It's... certain places in its genome have picked up these sites of where enzymes that are used quite often in genomic research, where the main method of research is to cut pieces of DNA or RNA out of viruses and splice them again.
That's using CRISPR, like a pair of scissors, right?
No, actually, it's not using the CRISPR system. It's using restriction enzymes. So it's a different sort of technology.
But, is it sort of achieving the same result, though? Because you know, I know how CRISPR sort of works, and is it close?
Yeah, it's basically different ways to unzip a genome.
Cool.
Different ways of unzipping your fly.
Unzip it slow.
Right, well, these restriction enzyme sequences are showing up at the sites where the new coronavirus genome has changed compared to its proposed common ancestors, and there's three which are very much like it. One's of a bat from the Yunnan province. One's a different bat genome, and the other one is a pangolin genome.
So what you're telling me is they have weird orgies in the woods in China.
Those the wet markets.
Is that what they call it?
No.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was two different species of pangolin, right?
I'm not sure. I think it's two different species of bat that they're comparing in this article. So two different species of bat virus genomes. And then there's a pangolin genome. A pangolin virus genome.
Now, did they evolve on their own and then combine in humans? Or did they combine in the wild before getting to humans? Or can you even answer that?
Well, the ones that they're comparing to, these ones that were sampled and found in nature,
yeah,
they don't affect humans.
Oh, so this is like
we're talking about a chimera.
Okay.
We're talking about a chimeric coronavirus, of which there have been many.
Isn't that how AIDS formed?
There have been many artificial and natural chimeric coronaviruses.
Okay, so this was just a lucky number COVID-19 that got us.
What I'm trying to tell you is it could be, but also its genome shows signs of having been spliced with tools that allow seamless reconstruction of their genome.
What's the likelihood of this sort of mutation occurring naturally in the wild? Like, very low? Is that why we think this could have been done with tools?
Man.
It kind of looks like it's done with tools because the signs of the tools being used are still left in there. The restriction enzymes, where they bind to that particular section of RNA.
So that's a common signature to messing with the genome, is those things get left behind.
Right, and they don't have to either. They can also be cut out.
So what you're saying is if this was done in a lab, it was done sloppy. Hello, Cody.
Oh, yeah. Quite sloppy.
All right.
Reread that article, because I thought they said
that... It's a 60-minute read.
Yeah, I know. It's huge. I thought they said in the beginning that some tools that are available now don't leave the traces that people would expect to find. And that's why they can't conclusively say it was or wasn't. Because there's no traces, but yet there are tools that can do this without leaving traces. That's what I thought it said, but I'm going to have to reread it.
There are tools that can do it without leaving any trace.
All right, so breaking it down, if this was done, it was basically the Barney Fife of lab techs that did it. So,
oh my God,
maybe that same idiot let it out.
They definitely didn't leave a signature. Made in Wuhan.
Same idiot that let, you know, some monkeys get away with it in Indonesia. The 12 monkeys. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's real.
What a strange story that is.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was in India, was it?
I think so.
That basically somebody had a bunch of samples of blood.
Delicious blood.
Yeah, apparently really delicious blood. Because some monkeys stole it from them. And all samples of like COVID blood.
Yeah, so they had like, to like redraw from the patients.
Yeah, like ran away with all their blood samples. Really strange. Like, what do monkeys do with blood? Must be vampire monkeys.
Well, stop storing blood in shiny containers.
Stop making it delicious.
So, the thing that I want to point out
in closing, there's a point to all of this?
Is that one of the premier researchers, Ralph Baric, on coronaviruses, who has done this multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, just resplicing, recombining genes. They asked him, exactly, what's the reservoir species of SARS coronavirus 2? They've not identified the actual reservoir species.
So nobody's certain it's even a bat or anything like that.
The reports show that the pangolins are potentially the intermediate host, but those coronaviruses which affect them are 88 to 98% identical. In comparison, civet and raccoon dog strains of SARS were 99.8% identical to the first SARS. So because of the quantity of pangolin strains of coronavirus, the quantity of changes in their genome, there's no chance that they're the reservoir species.
Okay, so we know what it isn't, and we don't know what it is.
Oh yeah,
but
it's crazy.
So is it safe to say that the article is inconclusive, whether it's major or not?
Yeah, we don't want to, you know, feel anything.
Yeah, it's great to say it's. It would be safe to say it's inconclusive, but I don't know, man. To me, all signs point to manipulation.
Well,
not touching
that's
that
my
one.
Opinion.
So let's see. People are playing God, and it's not turning out too well. Or at least that's a potential. Or what? That's a potential explanation for the giant pandemic that we see ourselves in. Wow. Seems like we would be fairly punishing ourselves for our own actions. Kind of like Africanized bees. Wasn't that an experiment in the first place?
Was it? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a genetic alteration. That was breeding, right?
It was
breeding
a mistake.
Is genetic alteration.
Well, either way, it was a mistake. I was like, oops.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done that. Bad idea.
We shouldn't have done that. He's just a boy. Okay, let's move on to something more fun. How about 5G terrorism?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so according to, let's say... ARS Technica, a $350 anti-5G device is just a 128 megabyte USB stick.
Found for $3 on eBay.
So my first question is this. Does the anti-5G thing advertise that it doubles as a USB storage?
No.
As if not, they should.
But there is a PDF of like information from them on it. But they claim that it's always on, even if it's not plugged in. It's always on and always working.
Oh my god!
And it doesn't interfere with any other Wi-Fi signals whatsoever. Why? Because the FCC requires that of all devices. If this thing were to actually interfere with the transmissions from 5G towers, it would be illegal.
Well, I guess that's one good place to start. Does it have an FCC certification?
Well, considering it doesn't do anything, it shouldn't have to.
They just have to comply with Section 15. This device will not cause any harmful interference and will accept all interference.
Which is very easy to do when you don't do anything. See, the 5G BioShield USB stick was recommended by a member of the Glastonbury Town Council's 5G Advisory Committee, which has called for an inquiry into 5G. The company that sells the 5G BioShield claims it, quote, is the result of the most advanced technology currently available for balancing and prevention of the devastating effects caused by non-natural electric waves, particularly but not limited to 5G and all biological life forms.
Okay, guys. Please, somebody correct me if I go off the path of correctness here, but as far as I know about radio waves... The only way to alter radio waves is to either block it outright with some sort of physical barrier, say a Faraday cage, which this thing is obviously not, or the only other way I know to cancel out radio waves is to emit radio waves of the same frequency at the same amplitude. So as far as I can think, the only possible way to cancel out 5G radiation is to hit you from the opposite direction with the exact same amount of 5G radiation.
Just out of phase.
They claimed to have, the bubble of, quote, a quantum holographic catalyzer technology.
Okay, they use quantum.
Holographic. That's old school.
That is a beautiful string of words. Can you repeat it one more time, please? The
quantum holographic catalyzer technology.
That's fancy stuff
Okay, so it's a quantum bubble. Means a unit of measure. Holographic means we're storing the data two-dimensionally. What was the rest of it?
Catalyzer technology.
That doesn't even apply. Catalyzation is a chemical process. It has nothing to do with electronics.
So do I need to put this quantum holographic catalyzer into my DeLorean, and then I can go back to the future?
You see, you gotta hook that up to your flux capacitor, but that goes in between that and the Mr. Fusion. That's what facilitates the time travel ability.
The researchers were were surprised that 128 gigabyte were still in production, too. So that...
It was 128 megabytes, right? That's crazy.
Megabytes, yeah.
Yeah, who makes those anymore? Like, not even, they don't even give them away for promotions.
North Korea. I don't know.
You're just making North a flash Korea chip for like a router or something. A small office home office router.
That's right. So that ours has antenna. Wait, what?
Well, yeah, that's what they use for like your ROM on your router. They have like 8 meg, 128 meg storage.
I mean,
it's probably
those chips. That'd be
a
really high-end router with 128
megs. Yeah, that's a lot
of
storage for a router.
They still make them.
Their ROMs are getting pretty big, too.
But that's for the ROM. That's the firmware? Or is that like active storage for
firmware
routing cables and crap like that?
I mean, it is active.
Technically, you don't have active-ish storage. You have some storage you can save things on for some time.
There's NAND. There's flash storage
and
routers.
Then you have static RAM, SRAM, which is what most of your active stuff is on, like your DHCP leases or
I guess it depends on what kind of router you have too. You could have one where they just have a ROM chip with everything burned to it, and then you're kind of not going to be able to do anything.
Well, I gotta say, if you can undo the effects of 5G. If it's so bad, if it is really that bad, with something the size of your thumb, it must not be very powerful of a technology.
Yeah, because you don't get that much power from a USB port in the first place. Standard feed is 500 milliamps.
150 milliamps for safety on most of them. Up
quantum.
To 500 milliamps. Quantum, yeah. I know. Quantum needs no power. That negates your power
and
right
holographic.
Sorry, guys. Free energy is not a thing.
And it's catalyzing.
Yeah.
Free energy is absolutely a thing. It's called the sun. Enjoy the photons.
It's not free to the sun.
What's that?
It's not free to the sun.
Who cares about the sun? It's going to be there no matter what.
Well, for a while.
Well, for another couple billion years. Yeah. Well,
as far as anybody listening is concerned. So... On that note, let's move on to the history. Corey, you ready over there?
Okay. June 1st, 1947, with its hands set 7 minutes to midnight, the Doomsday Clock appeared for the first time as the cover image on the June issue of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist. Don't know what it's set to right now. 1961, 25
2 seconds years, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like within 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure I heard some, you know, headline recently, but this was before even the last couple months. Anyways, 1961, 25 years after Edwin Armstrong demonstrated his invention to the FCC, regular FM radio broadcasting began in Schenectady, New York, on WGFM.
Woo! Local.
Yeah! Local radio.
This one's exciting.
June 2nd, 1928, Kraft Velveeta cheese was introduced as a replacement for canned cheese.
Whoa! That's awesome.
Dang for how...
Canned cheese?
Oh, dude, I had some shells and cheese, and it came with a can of cheese, and it was so much cheese, it was way more than Velveeta ever gives you, and it was cheap, and I only found it once.
Yeah, it was a cool store brand, you know, back in Texas.
Oh. Fuck that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it was just in our minds, but I swear it did make it, you know, better.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want canned cheese.
Yeah, then they switched to the regular pouch, and it may have just... Anyway, June 4th... No, go on.
I was going to say, it's easier to eat out of the pouch. You just cut the pouch and eat it. You don't have to get a spoon for the can.
Yeah. June 4th, 1929, George Eastman demonstrated the first Technicolor movie in Rochester, New York, another local. 1937, Sylvan Goodman's invention, the shopping cart, debuted in his store, the Humpty Dumpty supermarket in Oklahoma City.
I'm sorry. I'm still picturing Chris eating Velveeta packet like it's a go-gurt.
Listen,
there's nothing out of place here.
Yeah, cheese is good. I don't know. I have to defend that, do I?
I mean, after I squirted out onto the shells and cheese, I didn't cut it open, and so, and lick what's left.
See, I'm not the only
Corey's eating habits.
Okay. Get a straw. Eat it like a Capri Sun. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, God.
June 5th, 1981, in the U.S. Centers for Disease Control newsletter, Dr. Michael Gottlieb described for the first time an epidemic disease that would later be named as AIDS. 1977, the Apple II, the first PC, went on sale.
Woohoo! Those were good computers! That's when Apple was a great company!
June 12th, John Randolph Bray's The Artist Dream, a.k.a. The Dachshund, the first animated cartoon made in the U.S. with modern techniques, was released. June 14th, 1834, Isaac Fisher Jr. was granted 4 patents for the invention of sandpaper.
All right. Oh my gosh, I love sandpaper.
Where would we be without it?
1972.
Four patents.
I know.
As long as you didn't confuse it with a patent for toilet paper.
Well, some feels like sandpaper, so... 1972, via executive order of the EPA, use of the insecticide DDT was banned in the U.S. June 15th, 1752, Ben Franklin's experiment to prove the relation between lightning and electricity by flying a kite with a key attached to it was a success. June 16th, 1911, as a result of the merger of Tabulating Company, the Computer Scale Company, and the International Time Recording Company, a new entity, the Computer Tabulated Recording Company, was incorporated. 13 years later, they would redub themselves IBM.
International All Business Screens. Machines.
Yep.
Much better name.
June 19th.
IBM was cool, man. They pushed Linux early.
Oh, yeah.
They still do.
Hell yeah. Okay.
June 19th, the first woman in space, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova, returned to Earth after a 3-day orbit. 20 years later, and 1 day earlier, the second flight of the space shuttle Challenger carried mission specialist Sally K. Ride, the first American woman in space. June 21, 2005, financed by the U.S. Planetary Society and built by Russian partners, the world's first solar cell spacecraft was launched into orbit from a Russian submarine.
Woohoo! Bill Nye helped do that!
June 24 of 1963, the first demonstration of a home video recorder was made for BBC Television News. The intended price was £62, but it was never released. June 26, 2000, from the White House, President
Clinton... Was it the price or the weight of the object?
Oh, I should have said, yeah. Well, I presume BBC, everybody should, know pounds is their, currency. But yeah, it probably weighed about 100 pounds as well.
Cool. Just making sure.
Okay. From June 26, 2000, from the White House, President Clinton and representatives of the Human Genome Project and Celera Genomics announced the completion of a nearly complete working map of the human genome. And a little close to home in several ways. June 28th, 1832, the first case of a cholera epidemic in America was reported in New York City. Prior to this, Europe had been unaffected by cyclical pandemics that began in 1917 on the Indian subcontinent. Britain experienced their first case the prior October, and Canada was also struck shortly before. And then finally, June 30th, 1908, over Tunguska, a meteorite at 60,000 miles per hour detonated. The blast released an energy equivalent to 10 to 50 megatons of TNT, destroying 2,200 square miles of forest with no trace of life left.
Yeah, Gimmon,
that thing... Just think how incredibly lucky people are that it wasn't 100 or 200 miles in some other direction.
Oh, yeah.
It's
or a little happened. Larger.
Yeah, or it just happened to, explode where there's nothing but trees.
Over Russia, all the time.
Russia is pretty big, so it is a likely place.
It's a big, easy target, and the Northern Hemisphere likes to get, I think, the most meteorites, just because of the way that we're basically angled as we fly through debris fields in our solar system.
Another 10,000 years, it'll be the equator's turn.
Uh-oh, he's eating the Velveeta packet.
Cheese.
Well, it's 7:59. Are we ready to wrap it up?
Okay, you've been listening to WGXC Acra 90.7